Thank you. Thank you, Sister Janie and Brother Andy, for helping us sing. Thank you, church body, for singing and singing that prayer, that holy manna would be scattered all around. God bless. God be pleased. Do that. Would you please turn to the Gospel of Matthew again this morning, Matthew chapter 16. I've been reading in the Gospels, Matthew, this for several weeks, a few weeks, several days, and the last couple of Sundays I've tried to preach from this text, and as I read new material this week and searched and prayed and said there must be somewhere else I need to go, my mind kept returning to this, and as I would think about these questions here that Jesus asked, they're on my mind still, and so I want to return to them this morning, God willing. God being our helper and directing us, I pray that the text is what He would have us to study, and the things that I say would be the things that He would have me to say. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. We'll read 13 through 16. Matthew 16, 13 through 16. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Matthew 16, 13 through 16. God bless the reading of your word. God, open your word to us, to all of us, that I might preach it, and I and all of us might hear the word of the Lord, that we might grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, that you would be glorified, O Lord, and we would be edified. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. These questions have just stayed on my mind, brethren, in my heart as I meditate. I feel like I have new thoughts, additional thoughts. I feel like God's expanding somewhat my understanding, and I want to share with you. Last Sunday, we looked at these two questions here. Two questions. Whom do men say that I am? Questions Jesus asked. Now, I've said to you, and you know this, that Jesus knows everything. And if He asks a question, brethren, it's for teaching purposes. It's for self-examination purposes. He's got a purpose behind it other than to try to find out the answer to something He doesn't know, because He knows the answer. Two very similar questions. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? But whom say ye that I am? Two very similar questions, but very different answers given to them, are they not? Very different answers. The answer to these questions, brethren, varies based upon the insight or the sight of the person who gives the answer, or the lack thereof. The insight or the sight or the lack thereof. When He asked the apostles, His disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You know, we've studied this already. They said, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. All four of those, as we mentioned last week, that they're all men, are they not? John the Baptist, men, great men of God. But men only. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, a prophet, a man. Some say clearly, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Different answers to very similar questions. Last Sunday, we looked at individuals, Bible characters, who I said, would you please just imagine that we're going to ask them, these individuals, that question. Whom say ye that I am? What do you have to say about this man called Jesus of Nazareth? I ask you to imagine, visualize asking Elizabeth. We looked at her and her husband, Zacharias, the wise men who came to worship Jesus. We asked Simeon. We asked John the Baptist last week. And they said, briefly, as a reminder, brethren, they said, Elizabeth said, when we ask Elizabeth, that woman up in age, beyond childbearing, that God blessed to have a child, to carry a child, to birth that child being John the Baptist. While she was carrying John the Baptist, we asked her, and she said, what do you have to say about him? She said, that fruit of the womb in Mary, that fruit of the womb is my Lord. He's my Lord. Blessed are you, Mary, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, my Lord. She said, the mother of my Lord is come into my presence. So she says, brethren, when we say, who, Elizabeth, do you say he is? And she says, he's the blessed fruit of the womb. He's my Lord. And then we ask her husband, Zacharias, an old man who was praying and carrying out his duties there in the temple. He said about when we said, whom do you say that he is? He said, he is the Lord. He is my salvation. He's the horn of my salvation. He has visited and redeemed his people. Zacharias says, we have a visitor come from God. He's come to save his people, as the prophets of old said. He has visited and redeemed his people. The Lord has raised up a horn of salvation. And I said to you, and these are not my thoughts originally. I read them a long time ago, and I've held on to them. That horn of salvation, brethren, can be seen at least two ways, maybe many more. These are the two I've read about and stuck with me. A horn of salvation, a horn, a literal horn, and a spiritual horn that would defeat Satan. A horn like it's on a big steer or bull. It's used to push horns. Bullocks push with their horns. Rams push with their horns. It's an offensive weapon. And the seed of the woman pushed with the horn to destroy Satan, to penetrate him, to injure him, to crush his head, to defeat him. That's the horn of salvation, Zacharias says, has been raised up. And another way to look at that horn is one that makes a sound like a trumpet. A horn of salvation, a horn that announces musically, celebrating our salvation. That's what Zacharias said. And then we looked at those wise men that came, and we asked them, who do you say he is? And they said very plainly, where is he? Because where is the King of the Jews? That's what they have to say about him, brethren. No mystery in it. They say, he's the King of the Jews. That's what they say about him. And they say, we are come to worship him. I hope, brethren, I know you would and I would, if somebody came up here in our midst this morning into this sanctuary and said, what are y'all doing? I hope every one of us would say, we're here to worship God. Join us. But we're worshiping the one true and living God. We're worshiping the Lamb of God. Then we, after Elizabeth and Zacharias and the wise men, then we looked at Simeon. We asked him, O Simeon, what do you have to say about him? And he said, he would say, I've seen him, and he is my salvation. Mine eyes have seen God's salvation. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Anna, whomever she encountered, she spoke of them who looked for deliverance in Israel, we're told. Simeon and Anna in the temple. And then John the Baptist. We studied him two or three Sundays ago. He said, brethren, when he saw him, he saw Jesus walking at John's baptism, where he was preaching and baptizing, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Whom say ye, John the Baptist, that he is? He's the Lamb of God. That what? Takes away the sin of the world." Yes. Takes away the sin of the world. Takes away my sin. Brethren, the purpose of me reading these questions to you is to get me to think and to get you to think and to ask ourselves this question, but whom say ye that I am? What do you, brethren, have to say about him? What do I have to say about him? Well, we get a good start on it by looking at what others in the Word of God have said about him. Other saints of old. We looked at what Simon Peter said about him. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in contrast to what do men say about him? Oh, he's John the Baptist. He's Elijah. He's Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Great men, brethren. No question about it. In fact, Jesus said, there's no greater than John the Baptist. Great men, but men. And Jesus, brethren, on the other hand, is the Son of the living God, Christ. He's God in the flesh. Today, brethren, I want us to look at two more individuals. I want to look at their life experience. I want to look at their encounter. They both had encounters with the Lamb of God. They had encounters with the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want us to see what that encounter was and how it affected them. And at the end of reading these scriptures about these, there are only two for today, reading the scriptures about them, we're going to see, brethren, what they said about, if they were asked the question, whom say ye that I am? We'll have the answer here. And it'll help us, again, the purpose, brethren, at looking at these individuals is to help us, brethren, help us ask ourselves, what do I have to say about him? What should I be saying about him? To brothers and sisters in Christ and to strangers. The first one, I had, as I wrote down thoughts during this week, I had four or five people, but we can't cover that many in the time we have. And it's down to two now. Down to two. There are two. One's a man, one's a woman. And an interesting thing, in a way, is we don't know their names. The ones I tried to preach to you last week about, we knew the names of all of them, except the wise men. We don't know their names from Scripture. There's some outside tradition of their names. You might see them sometimes at Christmas, on Christmas cards, but we don't, Scripture doesn't say, so I just stick with Scripture. It's interesting to read that. It's interesting, but I'm going to stick with the Scripture. But here today, we know a good bit about these people, but we don't know their names. And that's not really important or significant. What's significant, brethren, is their encounter with Jesus and how it affected them. Okay, the first one, brethren. First one, we're going to go to the Gospel of John for both of these. Would you turn to John? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. We're going to be in John chapter 9 for the first one. And you're going to remember some things about this. The first one's a man. The second one is a woman we're going to look at this morning. You're going to remember some things about both of them. In fact, the way God works, brethren, He helps me every Sunday when I'm thinking I'm not worthy to get up there and stand in front of these people. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I'm unsure. I ought to feel better probably about it, more confident, because God's with me. But God reminds me, brethren, He reminds me. And this Sunday, like many other Sundays, He's reminding me yet again, yes, it's your job. Yes, I'll help you. Yes, you're on the right track. Yes, I'm leading you. He did that during Bible study when we talked about the good bit about this woman that I wanted to talk to you about also this morning. But first, the man. John chapter 9. Did I say chapter 9? I'm not sure. John chapter 9. We're going to look at verses here. Brethren, this whole chapter of John, chapter 9, deals with this man and other people. I just noticed that. I was picking out verses to keep from reading the whole chapter. I wanted to pick and choose what fits today's lesson. And I was looking and I said, well, this whole chapter is about this man and his family and the Pharisees and Jesus. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but get to John 9 and we're going to read selected verses for the purpose of keeping us on track on the issue today, the lesson today. And the lesson is, but whom say ye that I am? Whom say ye? When I read that question, brethren, when I read that text we read this morning, I'm not uncomfortable when I hear Jesus say to the disciples, what are men saying about me? Who do they say I am? Oh, that's interesting reading. And that's good to learn that. But then he turns and he says, but whom say ye that I am? That makes it a lot more personal, brethren. It gets my attention and it makes me self-examine. So here we go. John chapter 9. We're going to read selected verses. And then I'm going to come back, God willing, and comment on them. John 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now verse 6. Following verse 1, Jesus has a conversation with the disciples, and that's for a lesson for another time. Now verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now 7 through 10, and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Pay attention to verse 11. Pay attention to all of them, but watch in verse 11. Here's his answer. He answered and said, a man. A man. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Now verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Well, that infuriated the Pharisees. He did a work, even though it was a good work. He did it on the Sabbath day. And so they get riled up. They riled up at Jesus anyway. Verse 17. That's the Pharisees. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? There's our question, isn't it? What do you say of him? That he opened thine eyes? That he hath opened thine eyes? Here's the man's answer. The formerly blind man, he now sees. Listen to what he says, brethren. He said, he is a prophet. First he said, he's a man. Now he says, he's a prophet. Now verse 24. Then again called they the blind man, the man that was blind, and said unto him, this is the Pharisees, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He's done a work on the Sabbath day. He answered and said, the man who can now see, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now verse 35. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, that the man that was blind, the Pharisees have cast him out of the synagogue, put him out, excommunicated him. And when he had found him, when Jesus went to him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? There's another one of those questions, brethren. Do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. In other words, I'm him. You see me now. You were blind, but you see me with the natural eye. And it's me that's the Lord, the Son of God. And he said, the man who's just gotten his sight. Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe on you as the Son of God. And he worshiped him. The man worshiped Jesus. Now, we're going to go to the other person, same gospel, backing up a few pages, the woman. I want you to go to John 4. John 4, we're going to begin with verse 3. Almost this whole chapter deals with this encounter, but not quite. John 4, verse 3. And he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus had left Judea. He's headed to Galilee. Between Judea and Galilee is the area of the Samaritans. The Jews have no contact with the Samaritans. Jesus is a Jew. However, he must needs go through Samaria. There's some work there to do. Verses 3 and 4. Now to verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. The sixth hour is around noontime, if not exactly noontime. Middle of the day, hot. He's been journeying. You remember he asked the question, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? That's a term Jesus used to describe himself as a man. He was a man, but he was a man of God, and he was the God-man. He was fully man, fully God. He's tired. It's the middle of the day. He's wearied from his journey. But he must needs go through Samaria. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria. Again, we don't know her name, nor the name of the man that was blind. Their names are not important. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The woman says, verse 9, Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. It's unclear to me whether she said that, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, or whether John's telling us that. Either way, it's correct. The woman says, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Y'all don't like us. Jesus answered, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him and he would have given thee living water. Living water, brethren, means flowing water. It means a spring of water. It means a well of water flowing. And it means spiritual water. It means abundant life, eternal life. It's a symbol of living water, is a symbol of God's blessing in our lives. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. She's still thinking of running water. And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Where are you going to get this living water? You don't even have anything to dip with. Now we skip some verses here. That was verse 11. We go to verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, the water in the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life, a fountain always flowing, never ending, flowing up into everlasting life. The woman says, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's still thinking of natural water. We go now to verse 19. He's told her, go get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, yeah, you're right. That's right. You've had five, and the man you're living with now, you're not married to. He says, that's right. You told the truth. Now look at verse 19, brethren, what she says about Jesus. Here's her perception of him. We're looking at, brethren, in these studies here, we're looking at the perception of individuals of Jesus. What's their perception of him? He's a man. He's a prophet. He's a good man. He's a powerful man. But he's just a man. No, He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's the woman's perception now. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Verse 19. Now 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. I know the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. That's what Jesus says to the woman. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Get this. Is not this the Christ? What's her perception now, brethren? He's more than a prophet. He's a prophet and more than a prophet. He's the Christ. Is not this the Christ? And she's not asking them, brethren, if Jesus is the Christ, this man at the well. She's saying, he's told me everything about myself. He knows everything about me. He knows me better than I know myself. Is not this the Christ? It's a rhetorical question. She knows the answer. Yes, this is the Christ. A man born blind, a beggar. He was a blind beggar, lost, helpless, without sight. Jesus comes into his life, and it's a change. He's a changed man. Whom say ye that I am? You ask him that question, here's part of his answer, brethren. He's going to say, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I can see. I was literally, naturally blind. I'd never seen a thing. I've been blind since I was born. And the man healed me. Now I see. What do you have to say about him, man, cured from your blindness? Lord, I believe you are the Son of God. Lord, I worship you. This nameless man, who we know a lot about now, he says, I believe. I believe you're the Son of God. A woman who had natural sight, brethren, but could see only natural things. That's all she could see. That's all she looked for. Brethren, she was looking. She's had five husbands, and now she's living with a man. She's looking for happiness. She's looking for peace. She's looking for stability. She's looking for something she can't find. She can't get with the natural sight and worldly things. She's looking at worldly things. The woman at the well, the song says, like the woman at the well, I was searching. She's searching, brethren. She's seeing, but she's not perceiving, right? She sees natural things only. She can't perceive spiritual things. She's struggling. Jesus comes into her life and she gains spiritual sight, brethren. The one who knows everything about her. Is not this the Christ, she says. What do you say about him? Samaritan woman at the well, whom say ye that I am? Well, you're someone who knows everything about me. All things that ever I did, and you still came into Samaria. You still came to the well where I was going to show up. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. We looked at Elizabeth, Zechariah, the wise men, Simon, Anna, John the Baptist, and now a blind man and a woman of Samaria. Whom say ye that I am? You know what one other man said? One other man, he's a man kind of our day. He's not in the Bible. But we open our hymn and we sing his words. That man's John Newton. You know what he says? I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know why, brethren? Because he had an encounter with the Christ, the Son of the living God. John Newton did. This is former slave trader. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. But now I see, through the grace of God, the amazing grace of God, I see his beloved Son. I see Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, I believe thou art Christ. I will worship you. Christ knows everything about you, brethren, and he still comes to see you. That's amazing grace right there. He knows our pitiful condition. He knows our sinful condition, and he still comes. Whom say ye that I am? What do you have to say about him? You have the living water that satisfies when nothing else will. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We ought to be like the woman, brethren, that says, come, see this man. See this man. Is he not the Christ? We need to see ourselves, brethren, as blind beggars, as the woman seeking only the natural things, and how God has changed our lives. He's come and saves us from our sins. The last thing I say is one of the first things we said this morning. We said them together. Say it, sing it, live it, that your lives are changed forever. Say it and sing it and live it, brethren. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We say it in unison in here. We say it responsibly reading. We say it in our hymns. We read it in the Word of God. May we say it to one another. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. May we say it to one another. May we say it to our families as we depart. May we say it to strangers that we encounter. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you for being among us and leading us by your Spirit. Thank you for the privilege to pray to you, O Father, through the Son. O God, bless us to say it and sing it and live it in our lives. Thank you for these examples you give us in Scripture. Thank you for each one, O God. May we continue to learn and may we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. May we sing it, may we say it, may we live it. In the name of Jesus, we pray for enabling grace to do that, O God. Amen.